Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner is Andy Baskin. Our other partner joins us right now in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Former Indians pitcher, pride of Geneva, Tampa Bay Rays color analyst. He's Mr. Brian Anderson. Hello, BA.
Well, hello, hey, gentlemen. BA. Nice to be back on with you guys.
Good to have you. How's Florida treating you? I'm assuming you're still in Florida. Any more Gators? Any more anything else?
No. I mean, Gators every day. See those guys all the time. But other than that, we're getting down towards the end of spring. Like today, it's supposed to be 88, 89, sunny, very, very nice. But in the next few weeks, we'll start to transition into that Florida summer where it gets to be it gets to be a little bit overwhelming with the heat and humidity. So that's about the time I would look to head back home, come back to Cleveland.
All right, BA. The country's talking about it today. Blake Snell kind of put himself out there yesterday. Let me ask you first up, did you hear what he said?
I did. I had gotten word last night that he had made some comments. I read the full transcript this morning. That's one of those things, and I don't care, you know, I was a player rep when I was with the Diamondbacks. So I was a player rep for the Union for 5 years and, you know, went on strike in 94. I was a part of that. And part of all these negotiations, you know, coming together with a collective bargaining agreement. And when you're doing that, I don't care what the time frame is or when that's happening. You want to, John and Jane Doe aren't interested about professional athletes talking about money. They're not. It doesn't play well. There's no upside in it, and it's not something that people want to hear. Now, you combine that with what we're going through now as a country. I mean, let's just lay the facts out there. We've got unemployment numbers right now that haven't been this bad since the Great Depression. You've got over 30 million Americans that have lost their jobs. And a word to the wise, they don't want to hear professional athletes talking about money. Period, end of discussion. That's it. And so, you know, Blake's young. He made a mistake. I know him. He's a really good kid. And I think that he probably regrets that he said that. And, you know, here's the other thing. As a professional athlete, you can think those things and you can believe those things, but no one wants to hear them put out there. And that's what I don't understand over the last few days. All this talk about this compensation 50-50 revenue split and how the players union will have nothing to do with it. People don't want to hear that stuff right now. Go behind closed doors, lock yourself in a room. You're going to have to negotiate on a lot of different topics. But when it comes to revenue and compensation, don't let that stuff get to the media. If the owners want to talk about it, let them talk about it. Players, zip your lips about it because no one wants to hear about it. You don't gain any fans by it. And it's a huge turnoff at the end of the day.
Brian,
as a player rep, did you ever have to have that conversation with anybody? Did you ever have to walk up to somebody and just say, hey, man, here's the deal, exactly what you just told us?
Well, you know what? That was what was told to us by our leadership. You know, this all started when Tony Clark came out and said that, you know, the 50-50 revenue split is a non-starter. Don't even go there. They're using the global pandemic to try to push what amounts to a salary cap on us. Right there, it was started off on the wrong foot. When your leadership goes out there and takes shots across the bow, of the owners as far as what their proposal may or may not say, then you've just greenlighted everybody else in that union. You've greenlighted every player to go out and spout off whatever they want, and that's where the mistake was made. And you know, you're going to have guys from time to time that are going to come out and speak out on these things, but it just never plays well. And that was something that when I was the rep and we would go to these meetings, and quite frankly, you know, our leadership said this, the compensation, there's, like I said earlier, there is no upside in talking about money. People can't relate to the kind of money that these guys make and that we made back in the day. People don't relate to that, so they don't like to hear you complain about it. It doesn't play well. It has never played well. It will never play well. So you keep that stuff to yourself. Let your leadership negotiate. You're going to hammer out an agreement at some point, but there's just no, you know, when you do a pro and con, there's just no upside to talking about it publicly. It's just not going to go well, as we've seen over the last 24 hours.
Those might be the most sensible comments we've ever had on the show, Brian. That's, you're absolutely, I think, on the money with that, and you've got a perspective on it that's different than everybody else, having played the game and having been involved in all those talks. Blake made some points where if you take out the way he said it and some of the stuff that he said, okay, I understand they have concerns about being sick and they're being put out there, but we know a lot of other employees around the country and so many other gigs that are essential gigs are being put out there as well. We get all that, and I understand that they had an agreement with the owners. But the one thing I think the players probably need to understand, if the owners, and Andy laid this out earlier, some of the things that they agreed to when they decided to basically, hey, you work a game, you get paid for that game type of thing, right? Cutting the season in half, cutting your pay in half. Well, if that included fans being there, that's changed, it looks like. And, you know, the percentage of revenues and all that. So if you're going to negotiate something, great. But if you don't like it, I think the players always need to remember the owners could just say, Brian, all right, sorry, guys. I might be a really rich guy, but my team's not really, really rich, and I've got a lot of other employees. We're just not going to be able to play this season. And if everybody wants to play ball, I think, you know, literally, I think you're going to have to kind of come to some kind of a compromise, because the owners could take their ball and just go home.
They could. I mean, obviously, they don't want to do that, and that would really that would threaten the solvency of a number of teams. If they were forced to do that or decided to do that. But at the end of the day, you're going to end up taking less money because you're not going to play a full season. That's just, you know, that's where it starts. And so now, if you don't want to end up playing at all or there isn't a season, then you're not only taking less money, you're taking no money. You're not going to make a dime. And so, you know, something better than nothing, you're going to have to negotiate it. These are, I understand the union's point of view as feeling as if this is a form of a salary cap. I totally get that. But these are unique, you know, circumstances that we've never seen before and hopefully we will never see again. And so it calls for a unique settlement, a unique negotiation. And if you're hell-bent on making sure that this doesn't bleed into the collective bargaining agreement that you're going to have to renegotiate after 2021, then have the owners sign a document. Have them sign. And you know, the owners have said, hey, look, this is a one-time deal. This is for this season only. Okay, well, then guarantee that. Guarantee that in the next collective bargaining agreement, you will not approach talks of a salary cap or anything that remotely resembles a salary cap, and have them sign off on that. You know, do that to protect yourself. But this season, it's going to take a unique settlement to get things back up and running. And, you know, right now it seems like everybody's pretty dug in on their side. And, you know, there's no movement. Now, granted, there's not going to be when the opening salvos are thrown out there. But they've got a couple of weeks to try to get this thing done. And hopefully at the end of the day, cooler heads prevail.
Couple of little notes came out. Obviously, DH, if they do come back, will be on both sides, American and National. Your thoughts on that?
It totally makes sense and understand it. The pitchers, and we've talked about this, you know, getting the season back together. The pitchers are not going to be stretched out, and nobody wants guys that are not fully in, you know, game shape out there swinging a bat if they don't have to. So, you know what? Universal DH, totally fine with that, and you're probably going to see that throughout the league. You know, coming down the pike anyway. In fact, that may be part of the collective bargaining agreement here in the next year and a half, where the DH becomes universal. So no problem with that. I think everybody will adjust accordingly, and it'll work out just fine.
Brian, it cracks me up a little bit. it seems as if the players have always been in favor of the DH because, as they say, it adds another contract to the team, another bat to the team that you can have. But that would also come at the expense of a guy who might be a good glove replacement, right? A good defender to come in, or an extra bullpen arm or something like that. Do you think it is a good thing for the players to have the DH in both leagues?
I do. I think that that's something that they want. There's going to be a few pitchers, and I would have been one of them, that would like to see it stay American League, National League, and you get the opportunity to swing the bat. But I think there's a lot of pitchers that don't really care to do that. It does add, you know, an extra hitter to your lineup, more of a specialist type guy. However, you know, that being said, the more, you know, the more that you think about it, that's what we used to think, you know, back when I was negotiating and part of these discussions. But anymore, the game has become so specialized that how many teams really have one DH? You know, I know the Rays, good Lord, anybody could DH on a certain night. We never had really a standalone DH the last few seasons. A lot of guys rotate through that. But I think at the end of the day, it would still, you know, make everybody, you know, happy to have that, or most guys anyway, throughout the league. And I think that you're going to see an expanded roster anyway, just like, you know, we saw coming into this year. You were going to have 26 guys on the team, and, you know, that adds an extra major league salary to a squad. So that's something that's obviously going to make the union happy too.
Hey, Bright, you know, we've talked about We've talked about the five-round MLB draft. What are the aftershocks to that? Like, what does that really mean, a five-round MLB draft?
Well, it means a lot of guys that would have gotten drafted are not going to get drafted, and how that's going to affect free agency, college baseball. I think you're going to see an influx into junior college. You know, guys that are on the cusp, maybe sixth, seventh, eighth round type guys that know they were that close to getting drafted and didn't. They're going to say, you know what, I'm not going to take a $20,000 bonus when I know I can get myself into the top five rounds. And, you know, you may want to go the JUCO route, because you go JUCO, you are eligible to be drafted the following draft. You go to a Division I school, you know, you've got to be there three seasons. You know, the soonest you could get drafted would be as a redshirt sophomore. And so, you know, it'll just be interesting to watch, because, you know, you go from 40 to five rounds. That's not a lot of guys getting drafted. And then after that, it's a free-for-all. It's a free-for-all where you get – you know, you're maxed out at a $20,000 bonus, and, you know, some guy that may have been the first pick of the sixth round, he may have 25, 30 teams that are offering him 20 grand. And so now you have to start making those decisions, you know, who do you want to go to, you know, all things being equal. It will just be a very interesting dynamic to see unfold, but it will definitely shake up amateur baseball, especially in the short term.
B.A., that's a one-year deal, right? Isn't that what we've been told? Five rounds for 1 year?
Yeah. It's a one-year deal. However, you know, rewind. There's 160 or so minor league teams. And the owners wanted to, before the pandemic even hit, they wanted to reduce that number from 160 teams in the minor leagues, affiliates, to major league teams, to go down to 120. So already you were going to be cutting the draft down, because you were cutting out 40 minor league teams. At least one team in every organization was going to be cut out. That's what they wanted to do. Now, you know, unfortunately, with this pandemic taking over and they're able to, you know, there's going to be no minor league baseball this year. It's going to make that undertaking by owners a whole lot easier for them to be able to cut down on those teams. Therefore, that will cut down on the number of rounds in the draft. I don't know what number that would go to, but it certainly won't be maxed out like it has been up until this year.
Brian, one thought on minor league baseball. I was always told by folks who worked in minor league baseball, we have, you know, let's say a double-A team. You have 22 players on a roster, and you basically have like 12 to 15 guys there to fill out a team for the seven or eight real major league prospects that you have. And then you've got a team full of guys who are obviously pretty good baseball players because they're playing in double-A ball, but really aren't going to make the majors. Do you think the owners would prefer a system where maybe you had, like, and as they wanted to cut minor league teams, two or three minor league affiliates that were completely loaded with top prospects and work it up that way rather than having, what, six, seven minor league teams that kind of filter through the Class A ball and then you kick guys up to Double A and then eventually to Triple A?
Yeah, I definitely think that. And that would be obviously a way for them to save a lot of money on guys who they look at as, you know, long shots or beyond long shots to ever make it to the big league. So I think that would definitely be a part of it. I don't know if they would go down to two or three teams, but certainly cutting down from where they are now, that was already on the table and will continue to be. And I think that's something that you're going to see take hold here in the near future. And you'd have, minor league teams, as you said, that are going to be, loaded, have a lot more, high profile talents and top prospects on each one of these teams. And, that allows them not only to cut unnecessary costs, even in carrying an extra team or two in the minor leagues, but it allows their top prospects to really hone their skills. It's like iron sharpening iron. And if you've got a guy that's an absolute stud and he's not being challenged, well, then how quickly is he progressing? Where if he's on a team that's loaded, playing other teams that are loaded with top prospects, everybody is going to benefit from that. They're going to get a lot better, a lot quicker.
BA, we got about a minute here. I really want your thoughts on what the future of college football might look like.
Oh, boy.
Just because you're just a huge college football guy.
Yeah, I am. And you know what? I know you are, and Phelpsy, and probably, most of your audience, too. And I have no idea. The things that you're hearing with these different states being shut down, not everybody is equal right now. I mean, the other day that California said 3 more months, or at least Los Angeles County, 3 more months of shutdown.
Right.
Well, then that means California, there's nothing going on out there. UCL, USC, when are they going to start? Are they going to start? If they're not even going to, open things up until August, kids should have already been on campus by that point. If kids aren't on campus, there's going to be no football team. So I think everything is up in the air, but I think that any team in any state that can play is going to play because they need the TV money. If there's no TV money and there is no college football season, wait until you see the ramifications of that. Watch all of the non-revenue sports start to go away, especially at these smaller schools. They need that money, and that's why they're saying if you can play, play. If we have 8 teams out of the, the Big Ten's got 14 teams, if 8 or 10 can play, we're going to play with 8 or 10 because they need that TV money.
Yeah, Ryan, I was reading yesterday about home and homes.
Yeah. What's that?
As a backup. I was reading yesterday about maybe perhaps, could you imagine Ohio State and Michigan having a home and home this year to make sure that they're able to get games in this year? That'd be really interesting.
Okay, that's I've not heard that. I that just shows you the depths of the desperation of getting games in to guarantee that they get that TV money. But if it gets too gimmicky, you run the risk of it being a complete turnoff. I mean, that's kind of weird. Interesting, unique, yeah. I mean, I guess we'd sit down and watch it. I certainly wouldn't turn the channel. But I had not heard that one before, and it seems like, every day something new comes out, and it certainly makes for good conversation, helps you guys along, gives you plenty to talk about.
Amen. Amen.
That's the truth.
Thanks,
Ryan, thank you, buddy. We appreciate your time.
Take care.
All right, stay safe. Fight that heat and humidity that's on the way.
Yeah, we'll do. Well, when it gets here, I'm heading up to see you guys.
All right, good. We'll see you. Not in studio, but maybe from your sewing room. Thanks, BA.
There you go. Yep, take care.
Brian Anderson,
thanks,
former
man.
Indians pitcher, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.